إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session, reading from the explanation of the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi, including the 8 hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, and the explanation being by our Shaykh Al-Alama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, hafidhullah. Tonight, we're going to take the first hadith from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. May Allah make it easy for us to complete the explanation tonight. But before we do that, we're going to look at some of the issues that we discussed last week from the introduction, from question and study guide for lecture number 1. The first question being, mention the title of the book under study. The title of the book under study, meaning the explanation. What is the title of the book? The explanation. Fath. Naam.
Fath al-Kawi al-Mati.
Naam. Yani Fath al-Qawi al-Mubin means the success or the ease or the facility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Qawi al-Mateen has given in the explanation fi shah, yani al-Arba'in, explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, wa tatimmati al-Khamsin, and that which completed it as 50, meaning the 8 hadith added by al-Imam Ibn Rajab. And the Shaykh, he said that this explanation, yani, is the explanation of the combination of the original book of Al-Imam An-Nawawi along with the extra hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them. Second question, discuss briefly the topic or the subject of this book. Yani, what is the topic or the subject of this book? Naam? Okay, explanation of the 40 hadith, 42 hadith, or the 50 hadith, naam, explanation.
40 hadith that deal with comprehensive matters.
Naam.
That the Prophet explains words of brevity that have huge meaning.
Naam, 40 hadith that deal with comprehensive matters. As Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, said, dealing with matters of the usul, al-furu', al-akhlaq, al-adab, al-jihad, Zuhud, yani the important topics, all the important topics of Islam, yani the fundamentals of Islam, the branches of Islam, yani matters dealing with yani the belief system, and as well as yani the acts of worship. And he also mentioned yani Zuhud, which is yani it is the person, yani it is the act of not being overly concerned with the dunya, but rather a person's concern is for the hereafter. In English they call it asceticism, or whatever else they might call it. Naam. So, yani, this book is dealing with yani 40 hadith which encompass all of these matters of the deen, and also the hadith which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah said that each of them is a qaida from the qawaid of Islam. They are all fundamental, very, very important issues, and some of them, or as he said, they have all been described, yani, by some of different scholars as being the thing that Islam revolves around, or yani a half of Islam or a third of Islam, and so on like this. So these are all extremely important hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third question, discuss briefly the format used by the author Sheikh Abdul Muhsin in his explanation of this book. What is the format that he mentions when he explained what he intended to do with this explanation, the format that he mentioned? Naam. Anybody? Okay, so, naam.
He's going to use points. He's going to he's going to go in point form, first point, second point, third point.
Yeah, points.
At the end of that, he's going to mention a lot of benefits from the hadith.
And the benefits at the end. So he said basically that it's going to be an explanation that is mutawassit. Yani it's going to be moderate, not extremely long or short, but closer to ikhtisar. Yani to being brief. Closer to being brief. And he said he's going to put it in points. Yani each important matter and explanation is going to be separated by points. And finally he said he's going to mention at the end of it some of the benefits that are derived from that particular hadith. So the format that he's using is that he's going to give a moderate or brief explanation, and he's going to number it, or he's going to break it down into points, and at the end he's going to summarize the benefits that come from it. And this is very important to understand the manhaj that the author is using. What is the way that he's going to present the information? Number three, list three of the explanations of earlier scholars which the author benefited from in this work. He mentioned five or six scholars that he benefited from. Naam, Abdul Wali. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. Ibn Uthayn, rahimahullah, is two. Anybody else? Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani in his explanation of Fath al-Bari. And Imam Nawawi himself. And Imam Ibn Daqiq al-Eid. So he mentioned several scholars that he took from their explanations of 40 hadith, or in the case of Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, his explanation of al-Bukhari. Mentioned the author's closing advice to students of knowledge from his introduction to this work. What was his closing advice? Anybody remember? He said, "Usi, talib al-ilm, I advise the students of knowledge, bihifz, to memorize these 50 hadith." Yani from the comprehensive speech of the noble messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Memorize these hadith to the best of one's ability. Whoever can memorize all of them, alhamdulillah. Whoever can memorize some of them, or parts of them, alhamdulillah. But, these hadith, all of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ are important. These are from the most important of them. And they deserve to be retained in our memories. Question number six. Mention the author, rahimahullah's name and place of birth. His name and place of birth. Date and place of birth. Naam. His name. Naam. Talib. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad. Anybody remember some of his father's name, grandfather's name? Abdul Muhsin. Anybody? Ibn Hamid, Ibn Abdul Muhsin, Ibn Abdullah, Al-Abad, Al-Badr. Hafidhullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. And as far as when he was born in the year 1353. And the place he was born in? Zulfi. Naam? In the month of Ramadan, naam. Tayyib, after this, mention three of the author, rahimahullah's most famous teachers. Three of his most famous teachers. Question number seven. Naam. Naam, Imam?
Sheikh
Abdulaziz ibn Baz. Somebody else? Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim Ali Sheikh. Sheikh ibn Baz, teacher. Sheikh Abdul Razak, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Afriqi, Sheikh Abdul Razak Afifi. Naam. Any other? What about the great scholar of Tafsir? Al-Imam Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti. Question number eight, mention three of the author, rahimahullah's most famous students. Most famous students, any of them, three. Sheikh Ihsan Ilahi Al-Zahir, rahimahullah. Sheikh Salih Suhaimi. His son, Sheikh Abdul Razak. Sheikh Wasil Abbas. Sheikh Ali Nasir Al-Faqih. Naam. And Sheikh Rabia bin Hadi Al-Madkhali. Mention three of the authors, rahimahullah, most important books. Hafidhullah. Three of the authors, most important books. One of them is our book on the study. Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen. Naam. The explanation of 20 hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari. And the explanation of 20 hadith from Sahih Muslim.
The book of Hidayah.
The book of what? Akhlaq al-Rasul al-Kareem. Naam. adab, yani the character of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, the explanation of Aqidah ibn Abi Zayd, rahimahullah, and some other books. Yani from, yani these are some of his many, many, many books. From amongst them, yani is the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the excellence and virtue of the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their lofty status, yani, with the people of Sunnah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Okay, so these are some of the issues that we discussed last week, and we'll suffice with this. So we have then is what time?
8:45.
Oh, the Iqamah. Alright, so we have almost 1 hour almost, inshallah. So tonight, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to try to take the first hadith and as much of the explanation as is possible, if not all of it. The Shaykh mentions 9 points. The last of them are some of the things that are derived from this hadith. The first point is related to the isnad of this particular hadith. The second point is related to some of the views of the scholars concerning the importance of this particular hadith. And the third point is about, is concerning the group of hadith which the scholars said that Islam revolves around. In between that is 3 points related to the explanation of this particular hadith, the explanation of the wordings of the hadith itself. So we're going to start with the hadith, and again, I'm just going to say from here that this hadith is not one of the longest hadith in the 40 hadith. It's not one of the shortest either. But if a person even could just memorize the first two lines, which is the core meaning of the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, that would be excellent. And if we could memorize the next two lines, even if we didn't memorize the full text of the narrators of the hadith, but we should try to memorize according to our ability. So, I don't know what page it is in the English booklet that we are using, that we distributed. Are the pages numbered? Are there numbers on those pages? Okay, so in any case, the first hadith in the Arabic text that we are using from the Shaykh's explanation is on page 8. Al-Hadith Al-Awwal. And this hadith, its topic, is from the beginning of the hadith. Al-Amal bin Niyat. Al-Amal bin Niyat. The actions are judged by intentions. An Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abi Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, qal, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. Yani, on the authority of the leader of the believers, Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, Umar radiyallahu anhu said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Innamal a'amalu bin niyat. That indeed, actions are judged by intentions. Or actions, literally, are by intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And indeed, for every person will be that which they intended. What they intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So whoever's migration, yani leaving their land, the land of disbelief, or the land of kufr, or the land of shirk, going to the land of the Muslims, whoever's migration was to Allah and His Messenger. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. They migrated, to Allah and His Messenger. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then his migration will be to Allah and His Messenger. And the Shaykh explains, the difference between, what is being stated here. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجْرَ إِلَيْهِ. And whoever's migration is to obtain or to attain some worldly benefit, or for a woman to marry her, then his migration is for whatever it is that he has migrated for. This is a tremendous hadith, and we will see after the Shaykh mentions something related to the isnad of the hadith, we will see its importance from what many of the scholars said. Al-Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, when he mentions, the collectors, the muhaddith, who collected this hadith in a book, he mentions a little bit lengthy. So again, I'll say, if a person has difficulty in memorizing, just remember that it's narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. Otherwise, if you can remember just as it came, and it's not really that difficult, if we put our minds to it and we work at it, ask Allah's help, inshallah, he said, رَوَاهُ إِمَامَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ إِمَامَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ. It is narrated by the two imams of the scholars of hadith, Abu Abdullah محمد ابن إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم ابن المغيرة ابن بردزبة البخاري. وأبو الحسين مسلم ابن حجاج ابن مسلم الكشيري النيسابوري في صحيحيهما يعني اللذين هما أصحوا الكتب المصنفة. So he said this hadith is reported by the two imams of the scholars of hadith, Abu Abdullah, that is Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim, ibn al-Mughayra ibn Bardizba al-Bukhari. And Abu al-Husayn, that is Imam Muslim, Muslim ibn Hajjaj, ibn Muslim al-Qushayri al-Naysaburi, fi sahihayhima, in their two authentic collections of hadith, al-Ladhaini, yani those two books which are huma as-sahu al-kutub al-musannafa, they are the most authentic of the books that have been authored, that have been yani collections, not yani excluding the that which is revealed from Allah, yani the Quran. After this, the first point related to this hadith is about the isnad of this particular hadith. About the isnad of this particular hadith. The Shaykh says, أخرجه البخاري ومسلم وأصحاب السنن وغيرهم. This hadith has been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim and Ashab al-Sunan. Ashab al-Sunan means the literally the companions of the Sunan. Yani Sunan being the plural of Sunnah. Meaning those scholars who were well known for having collected, made collections of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ specifically. It refers to four Imams, Al-Imam Abu Dawud, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, Al-Imam ibn Majah, and Imam al-Nasa'i. Ashab al-Sunan. This hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari Muslim and the four Sunan, Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Nasa'i, rahimahumullah, and others besides them. And the book is collected in all the well-known important books and others besides them. Then he mentions the technical point, وَقَدْ تَفَرَّضَ بِرِوَايَتِهِ عَنْ عُمَرَ. Yani, he's saying that one person alone, singly, narrated this hadith from Umar. He's the only one who narrated it from Umar. He said it was... And he singly narrated from Umar, that is Al-Qama ibn Waqqas al-Laythi. He was the person who narrated it from Umar. وَتَفَرَّ بِهِ عَنْهُ Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi. That Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi also was alone in narrating this hadith from Al-Qama. And then he says that likewise, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, rahimahullah, yani he alone narrated the hadith from Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi. After that, many people narrated it from that point in the isnad. Many people narrated it. And then he says, فَهُوَ مِنْ غَرَائِبْ صَحِيْ الْبُخَارِي. Yani, it is a hadith that's classified as gharib because in at least one of the levels of the chain of narration, there's only a single person who narrated. In this particular case, in three levels. Yani, it was narrated by a single person. So this is from the gharib of Sahih al-Bukhari. And just as a quick note, yani hadith gharib is often, quite often, a weak hadith, but not always. And obviously, yani not always, because why? This is a gharib hadith, and it's narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, وَهُوَ فَاتِحَتُهُ. That this hadith is the hadith that he opened his collection of hadith with. Yani it is the opening of the book of Sahih al-Bukhari. وَمِثْلُهُ فِي ذَلِكَ خَاتِمُهُ. And similar, like this, Yani it being hadith gharib, the khatima, the final hadith that Imam Bukhari narrates in his Sahih, is also a hadith gharib. And that is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, kalimatani habibatani ila rahmani. Yani two words that are beloved to ar-Rahman, they are light on the tongue, heavy on the scales, and they are subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Related to the hadith, some of this is a little bit technical, but in any case, what is important here is that the hadith is sahih. That is what is really important. And the rest of it, yeah, and also it's important to note that Imam Bukhari began his book with a hadith that's gharib, and he ended it with a hadith that's gharib. And in which, Allahu A'lam, what was the intent behind it? But it certainly yani, makes a person aware that every hadith that's gharib is not yani, weak. He began with one and he ended with one. From the most authentic book of hadith, according to the majority of the scholars. The second point deals with, and it's somewhat lengthy, the Shaykh deals with the various scholars' views about the importance of this particular hadith, the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. He mentions various scholars and what they said about the importance of this particular hadith, which shows us yani why Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah began his book with it, as did many of the scholars before him, because of its importance. He said that Al-Imam An-Nawawi opened or began his collection of 40 hadith with this particular hadith, and a group of the Ahlul Ilm likewise opened their books or began their books with this particular hadith. And from amongst those scholars, the Ahlul Ilm, the ulama, before Imam Nawawi, who began their books with this hadith, and he followed in their yani path, was Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, who began his Sahih with this hadith. And Al-Imam Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi, he began his book, Umdat Al-Ahkam, as well with this hadith. And that is also a very, very important hadith, yani collection of hadith that are reported by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, or at least one of them. Umdat Al-Ahkam. And then he says, Al-Imam Al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, also began his two books, Masabih As-Sunnah and Sharh As-Sunnah. Two very, very important books of hadith that yani are also worthy of mention. Finally, he says, and from amongst the Imams of the past who began their book with this hadith is Al-Imam As-Suyuti, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of hadith, and his book is a well-known, very, very important book, Al-Jami' As-Saghir. He also began this book with this hadith, the hadith of Umar, Innama Al-A'malu Bin-Niyat. Then the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Rabad al-Badr Hafidhullah says that Imam Nawawi in the beginning of his book Al-Majmu' Sharh Al-Muhadhab, he begins with a chapter in which he said the following. I just want to note that this book Al-Majmu' the Sharh Al-Muhadhab is an extremely important book of fiqh. It is the explanation of Muhadhab, which is a book of Shafi'i fiqh. And Imam Nawawi explains it in his book Al-Majmu', which is a very, very, extremely important book of fiqh. He says in the beginning of this book, he begins with this chapter saying, فَصْلُ فِي الْإِخْلَاصِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَإِحْدَارِ النِّيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ الْعَمَالِ الْبَارِزَةِ وَالْخَفِيَّةِ. نعم. Yani Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, what the Shaykh is going to quote here is from Imam Nawawi in his book Al-Majmu', the chapter which he began his book with, the chapter entitled The Excellence or the Virtue of Al-Ikhlas, Sincerity and Sidq, Truthfulness and Ihdar and Niyyah, and having, yani, calling to mind, being conscious of one's Niyyah in every action or every deed that is seen or unseen. Yani, this is the chapter heading. The excellence of sincerity and truthfulness and calling to mind one's Niyyah for every action that you do. You should always be conscious of your Niyyah. Then, under this title, Al-Imam Nawawi mentions three hadith, three ayats from the Qur'an, and then he mentions the hadith of Umar, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that verily indeed actions are in accordance with intentions. And then he says, that is Imam Nawawi, in Al-Majmu' he says, this is a hadith that's sahih, it is مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَى صِحَّتِهِ, it is agreed by Al-Bukhari and Muslim that it is an authentic hadith, and it is مُجْمَعٌ عَلَىٰ عِظَمْ مَوْقِعِهِ وَجَلَالَتِهِ, and it is also agreed upon, or it is by unanimous agreement, that yani the magnificence or the importance of the status and the loftiness and the nobility of this particular hadith. He goes on to say, Imam Nawawi, it is one of the qawaid of iman, and it is the first of the da'aim of iman, and it is the aqidu al-arkan. Yani that this particular hadith, it is one of the qawaid, the foundations of iman, and it is the first thing that we start with in terms of the things that support iman, and it is the most important requisite or imperative of the pillars of Iman. Showing the importance of this hadith. Here Imam Nawawi quotes from Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. Imam Nawawi now is quoting from Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, in which he says, يَدْخُلُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فِي سَبَعِينَ بَابًا مِنَ الْفِقْهِ. First statement, Imam Shafi'i says what? That this hadith is a part of 70 yani issues related to fiqh. 70 different issues. This hadith is a part of it, attached to it, associated with it, related to it. And then he says, also, Imam Shafi'i said, هُوَ ثُلُثَ الْعِلْمِ, that this hadith, it comprised 1/3 of knowledge. 1/3 of knowledge. And similarly, the Shaykh says, other scholars said the same thing as what Imam Shafi'i says here. Then, he goes on to say, هُوَ أَحَدَ الْحَدِيثِ الَّتِي عَلَيْهَا مَدَارُ الْإِسْلَامِ, that this is one of those hadith about which it is said that Islam revolves around it, or Islam is dependent upon it, that it is an essential matter, yani in the deen of Islam. This hadith is one of those hadith that is described like this, that Islam revolves around it. وَقَدْ اُخْتُلِفَ فِي عَدِّهَا, but the scholars differed about the number of those hadith, those various hadith that are described as Islam revolves around them, or is dependent upon them. The scholars differed about how many are those hadith. It is said, some scholars said there are 3 hadith. Some scholars said there are 4 hadith. Some scholars said there are 2, and some scholars said there's 1 hadith that Islam revolves around. Imam Nawawi after that says, yani with the differences of opinion amongst the scholars of how many hadith there are, and which hadith they chose to fit in that category, he says, I have collected all of them in this collection of 40 hadith. I have collected all of those hadith that they have described as such. And my collection has reached 40 hadith, لا يستغني متدين عن معرفتها. 40 hadith which no person who is religious, who is conscious of his deen, is without need of. No person who has any consciousness of their deen is without need of these. Meaning that everyone who has love for this deen, they are in need of these hadith. Everyone is in need of them. لِأَنَّا كُلِّهَا صَحِيَةٌ, because all of them are authentic, وَجَامِعَةُ قَوَاعِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and together, they bring together, they collect together, the foundations of Islam. And these hadith are a collection of the foundations of Islam, a gathering of all the foundations of Islam. Whether it's in usul, the fundamentals, or in the furu', the branches, and in the aqidah, or the laws, or in zuhud, asceticism, or adab, manners, or makarim al-akhlaq, yani noble character, or other than that. All of these things are included in these 40 hadith. Then Imam Nawawi says, وَإِنَّمَا بَدَعْتُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَأَسِّيًا بِأَئِمَّتِنَا وَمُتَقَدِّمِ أَسْلَافِنَا مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. He said, the only reason why I began with this hadith, is in following yani those who preceded us from amongst our salaf, those who came before us from amongst the salaf, from amongst the ulama, the scholars, radiallahu anhum. Yani this is what our scholars who came before me, this is how they did it, I'm following them. This is the imam, from the imams of the people of sunnah, Imam Nawawi. And he's saying, why am I doing this? Because I'm following the scholars who came before. And that is the way of the people of sunnah, that we follow the people who came before. Not just the Salaf al-Salih from the first 3 generations, but the scholars of the Sunnah, who are known to be upon the Sunnah, even from the later generations. We follow those who came before us. He said, that's why I began with this hadith. And then he says, وَقَدْ ابْتَدَأَ بِهِ إِمَامُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ بِلَا مُدَافَعَ, that is Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari صَحِيحَهُ, that the Imam of the people of Hadith, unquestionably, without doubt, he began his Sahih with this book, with this Hadith. That is, Abu Abdullah, yani al-Bukhari. He began with this Hadith. And it has been conveyed from a Jama'ah, group of the scholars, and the Salaf كانوا يستحبون افتتاح الكتب بهذا الحديث. Yani that a group of scholars have conveyed or relayed to us that the early generation of the Muslims, the Salaf, they used to consider it mustahab, that is something commendable and praiseworthy, to begin books with this hadith. For what reason? تَنْبِيحًا لِلطَّالِبْ عَلَى التَّصْحِيَ النِّيَّ وَإِرَادَتِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِجَمِيعَ عَمَالِهِ الْبَارِزَ وَالْخَفِيَّةِ. The reason why they began with this hadith is to bring to the attention of the student the need for having a correct intention and for desiring the face of Allah the Most High in all of their deeds that are seen or unseen. Yani to bring to the attention of the student the need to have a correct niyyah, intention, and the need in every deed that a person does to be seeking the face of Allah in everything that we do. Then he goes on to say, yani we have also, now he mentions some other scholars. This is still Imam Nawawi in his introduction to Al-Majmu'ah. He's quoting yani different things that different scholars said, and he's adding, yani showing the importance of this particular hadith. He says, we have also narrated from Al-Imam Abi Sa'id, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah, one of the foremost scholars of the people of hadith of early generations of Muslims. He said, we have narrated from him, Al-Imam Abu Sa'id, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah, that he said, لَوْ صَنَّفْتُ كِتَابًا بَدَعْتُ فِي أَوَّلِ كُلِّ بَابٍ مِنْهُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Yani if I were to author a book, I would begin every single chapter with this hadith. Not just the beginning of the book, but every chapter would begin with this hadith. And this shouldn't be taken lightly, because the people that he's quoting from, the people that are saying these things, are yani from the most prominent of the imams of the people of Sunnah. These are not just scholars, but they are the foremost of the scholars from the early generations of the Muslims. He said, if I were to collect a book, if I were to author a book, then I would have begun every single chapter with this hadith. And it's also narrated from him, yani Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah, that he also said, من أراد أن يصنف كتابا فليبدأ بهذا الحديث. Yani whoever intends to make a collection or to author a book, then he must begin with this hadith. Then he quotes from Al-Imam Al-Khattabi. وقال الإمام أبو سليمان حمد بن محمد بن إبراهيم بن خطاب الخطابي الشافعي الإمام في كتابه المعالم يعني المعالم معالم السنن. نعم معالم السنن. It's a book of hadith. A book of hadith يعني explanation of the sunan of Abi Dawood رحمه الله. معالم السنن. الخطابي he says كان المتقدمون من شيوخنا يستحبون تقديم حديث إنما الأعمال بالنيات أمام كل شيء ينشأ ويبتدأ من أمور الدين لأموم الحاجة إليه في جميع أنواعها. يعني الإمام الخطابي رحمه الله he says that the متقدمون, the early scholars, يعني that they used to consider it from amongst our teachers, they used to consider it as mustahab, as praiseworthy and commendable to yani lead with this hadith al-amal bin niyat in front of everything that a person begins to do from the affairs of the deen, from religious affairs, due to the generality of the need for it in everything that we do in our religious affairs. Yani the need for it is not specific to any particular thing, rather it's general in everything that we do of our religious affairs. This is the end of the quote. Then this is the end of the quote from Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. And then the Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhahullah, he quotes from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, in his book, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. And I think we mentioned last week that this book, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, is the book in which Ibn Rajab explains the 40 hadith, the 42 hadith of Imam Nawawi, along with the 8 hadith that he added to it, making 50 hadith. This is his explanation, Imam Ibn Rajab's explanation, of those hadith, the 50 hadith, 42 hadith, Imam Nawawi, and the 8 that he added. And Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says, in this book, he says, اتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمَاءَ عَلَى صِحَّتِهِ وَتَلَقِّهِ بِالْقَبُولِ. Yani that the scholars, meaning the scholars of the people of Sunnah, they are in agreement upon its authenticity, the authenticity of this hadith, and it having been accepted, yani with approval, that the scholars accepted this hadith يعني wholeheartedly. And then he says, Ibn Rajab says that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari began his book, يعني his Sahih, with this hadith. And he intended by it, أَقَامَهُ مَقَامَ الْخُطْبَ لَهُ. يعني he made it as the opening speech, as the opening speech to begin his book. إِشَارَةً مِنْهُ إِلَى أَنَّ كُلُّ عَمَلْ لَا يُرَادْ بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ. يعني as an indication, opening his book with this hadith, as an indication that every deed which is not done intending to seek the face of Allah, then that deed is false. It is batil. It is invalid. Every deed in which a person does it not in seeking the face of Allah, not seeking the pleasure of Allah, not seeking the reward of Allah, not doing it for the sake of Allah, then that deed is yani invalid. لا ثمرة له في الدنيا ولا في الآخرة. And there is no fruit, there is no benefit from that deed for the person who does it, not intending Allah. There is no benefit for that person in this world, nor in the next life. Not in this world, nor in the next life. Which is something to think about. This is the end of what he quotes concerning the views of some of the earlier scholars concerning this particular hadith, the importance of this particular hadith. Here, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafizullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, now has some discussion concerning the group of hadith about which various scholars described as being those hadith which Islam revolves around, is dependent upon, that these are essential, critical factors in the deen of Islam. So he first quotes from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, when he says, this hadith is one of those hadith التي يدر الدين عليها, that the deen revolves around it, is centered upon it. Yani, Ibn Rajab said, this hadith is one of those hadith, yani meaning the hadith, إنما الأعمال بالنيات. And it has been narrated from Al-Imam Shafi'i, this is Imam Rajab now quoting from, yani what he heard from Imam Shafi'i, or what was reported from Imam Shafi'i, and previously it was an Imam Nawawi quoting from Imam Shafi'i, the same statements. It has been reported from Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah that he said, هذا الحديث ثلث العلم, that this hadith is a third of knowledge, one third of the knowledge. ويدخل في سبعين بابا من الفقه, and it is also a part of or applicable to 70 different issues of fiqh. Then he quotes from Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah saying, أصول الإسلام على ثلاثة أحاديث, that the fundamentals of Islam are based upon three hadith. The fundamentals of Islam are based upon three hadith. Remember, Imam Nawawi said, some of the scholars said that those hadith are three. And some said there is four, and some said there is two, some said there is one. Imam Ahmed said, the foundations of Islam are upon three important hadith. And he mentions them. The hadith of Umar, our hadith under discussion, Al-A'mal bin Niyat, which is the first hadith in the 40 hadith. The hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha, من أحدث في أمرنا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever invents or introduces something new into this matter of ours, this deen of ours, that is not from it, فهو رد. Then it is مردود, it is rejected. And that hadith is the fifth hadith in Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. And the third hadith Imam Ahmed mentions, is hadith An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, Al-Halal bayn wal-Haram bayn, that the things that are halal are clear and the things that are haram are clear. And between them are doubtful matters about which not many people know. That hadith is the sixth hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. So these are three hadith from amongst those hadith that various scholars said Islam revolves around. Imam Ahmed said there are three, and he mentioned these three hadith. Some scholars said there are four or five or one or two, and they may have mentioned different hadith, these or other than them. Ibn Rajab goes on to say, he went on to say, yani the Shaykh is quoting from Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, also saying, explaining this statement of Imam Ahmed, that what he means by Islam, the fundamentals of Islam are from these three hadith, he means by that the deen, inna deena, كله يرجع إلى فعل المأمورات وترك المحظورات والتوقف عن الشبهات. that the whole of the deen goes back to these three affairs. Yani, doing those things that we are commanded, avoiding those things that we have been prohibited, and stopping upon those things that are not clear. That the whole of the deen goes back to this, and then he said, وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ تَدَمَّنُهُ حَدِيثُ نُعْمَانِ ابْنِ بَشِيرٍ. And so these three affairs, all of this is contained in, yani included in the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu. And then he said, وَإِنَّمَا يَتِمُّ ذَلِكَ بِأَمْرَيْنِ. And then the whole of the affair is completed by two other matters. Yani, the whole of the deen goes back to doing what we are commanded, avoiding what we are prohibited, and stopping upon the matters that are unclear. And this also requires two other matters to complete it. The first of them, أَنْ يَكُونَ الْعَمَلُ فِي ظَاهِرِهِ عَلَى مُوَافَقَةِ السُّنَّةِ. Yani, that every deed in its outward form must be in agreement with the sunnah. وَهَذَا هُوَ. And this is what is contained in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that whoever introduces yani something into this matter of ours that are not from it is rejected. That means that somebody does something, its outward form is not in agreement with the sunnah, so then it is rejected. And the second matter, أن يكون العمل في باطنه يقصد به وجه الله عز وجل. And that the second matter is that the deed inwardly, what is has to be intended by it is the face of Allah عز وجل. And this is what is included in the hadith of Umar, yani Ibn al-Khattab, the hadith under discussion. So the three matters that the whole of the deen goes back to is doing that which we are commanded, avoiding that which we are prohibited, and stopping upon those things that are not clear. But it also requires that the outward form of every action has to be done in accordance with the sunnah. And inwardly, it has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. After this, the Shaykh goes on to quote from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, and he says, Ibn Rajab has conveyed to us reports or accounts from some of the scholars concerning those hadith, that group of hadith, which it is said about them, يَدُرُّ عَلَيْهَا الْإِسْلَامِ, that Islam revolves around those hadith. Here, Ibn Rajab quotes, or the Shaykh is quoting from Ibn Rajab, some of the reports or the accounts of what the scholars said about this group of hadith. Some of them said that it is two, that there are two hadith that Islam revolves around. And some of them said that it is four hadith. And some of them said five. And Ibn Rajab says, so those hadith, al-hadith al-lati dhakraha, then Ibn Rajab yani mentions the hadith that those scholars said. Some of them said four, three, five, whatever. And then they, when they said that there is five hadith, they mentioned five hadith. So here Ibn Rajab mentions the hadith that they included in those sayings of those scholars. And he mentions here eight hadith, in addition to the three that's already mentioned from Imam Ahmed. He mentions here eight more hadith that various scholars said they are from amongst those hadith which the deen of Islam revolves around, depends upon, that are critical to Islam. And eight hadith in addition to the three. The first hadith is hadith number four from the 40 hadith, that indeed one of you, the creation of each one of you is brought together in his mother's womb for 40 days as a drop, and so on to the end of the hadith. That is hadith number 4 and 40 hadith. The second hadith from amongst the 8 additional hadith is the 12th hadith and 40 hadith. It's the 12th hadith of Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. من حسن الإسلام مرء تركه ما لا يعني. That from the goodness of a person's Islam is that they leave off that which does not concern them. The third hadith that he mentions from those hadith that Islam revolves around is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبَلْ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبْ طَيِّبًا. That Allah is طَيِّبْ, He is good, and He doesn't accept anything unless it is طَيِّبْ. Yani accept that it is lawful, that it's wholesome, that it's healthy, and so on. This hadith is hadith number 10 from the 40 hadith. The fourth hadith of the 8 additional hadith is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi, that no one of you has complete and perfect iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And this hadith is the 13th hadith from al-Imam an-Nawawi's 40 hadith. The fifth hadith that he mentions from the 8 is the hadith la darara wa la dirara, that there is no harming nor reciprocating harm. And this hadith is the 32nd hadith from Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. The 6th hadith from the 8 he mentions is the hadith, if I have commanded you with something, then do it. Mastata'tum, as much as you can. And if I prohibit you from something, they leave it off. And this is hadith number 9 from Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. The 7th and 8th hadith, 7th and 8th hadith from the extra hadith, in addition to the first three mentioned by Imam Ahmed, is the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, izhad fi dunya yuhibbaka Allah. Yani, abandon the things of this world, and yani, meaning abandon mean like don't give your heart to it. Don't be over concerned with it. The things of the world, and Allah will love you. And if you are not concerned with the things that people possess, their property and their belongings, then the people will love you. If you want people to love you, don't show any interest in their belongings. This hadith is hadith number 31 from Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. And the last, the 8th of those additional hadith, is ad-din al-nasiha, yani that the core and essence of Islam is yani al-nasiha. And that hadith requires some explanation. It's hadith, and we'll come to it. Yani, it's hadith number 7 from the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. So this is discussion related to what? Those hadith. What the various scholars said are those essential, critical, important hadith which Islam revolves around. And the mention of some of the scholars, what they said concerning it, how many they are, and some of the hadith that they considered to be part of that group, showing that these hadith are of the utmost importance. Imam Nawawi said, I have collected all of them in his 40 hadith. These and others. And I know the time is running. So, yani, labas, we are not going to rush through this. But we're going to take the fourth point. The fourth point and the fifth point and the sixth point of this explanation all relate to the wordings, the meanings of the words in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. The actual meanings of the words. So in point number 4, he says the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Three words. The first of those words, إِنَّمَا, he said, is adat hasr. Yani, it is an instrument in Arabic language that is used to restrict or to limit something. Okay, this discussion is linguistic discussion, but the point is, yani, in the explanation of the hadith, it becomes more clear its importance. Yani, innama means, indeed, verily, surely, certainly, whatever is about to be said is true, and it's limited to that. It doesn't go outside of that. So, al-amal bin niyat means that the most important thing in deeds is the niyah. Naam. The alif lam, the definite article in the word al-a'mal, yani the deeds, and you know if you say a deed or the deeds, it's not the same, right? A deed means any deed. The deed means you're talking about something specific. So the Shaykh, he says here, the alif lam, the definite article in al-a'mal, the deeds, he said there are two views concerning this. Some of the scholars said, innaha khasa fil qurub, that this is a special, and specific to deeds that are yani intended to seek nearness to Allah through them, acts of worship. This is specific to acts of worship, that it is acts of worship that are judged by intention. That's one view. The second view, innaha lil'umum fi kulli amal, that no, al-amal here is general for all deeds. It's general for including all deeds. So if a person does a deed that is a qurbah, it is actually an act of worship, then that person who does it would be rewarded for it. And if they were to do a deed that is from umur al-adat, it's not from those things that are considered worship. It's just general actions that people do, like eating or drinking, or sleeping. That's not generally considered to be worship. But those deeds are also included. The second view, they said, it also includes umur al-adat, the habits that people just normally do, like eating and drinking and sleeping. That for those deeds, a person would also be rewarded. إِذَا نَوَى بِهِ التَّقَوِّي عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ. They would be rewarded if they intend, when they do it, their intention is to strengthen themselves in order to do an act of worship, an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second view is that al-a'mal in this hadith includes all deeds. That if it's an act of worship, a person will be rewarded for it because it's an act of worship. If it's not an act of worship, they could still be rewarded for it if when they do it, the intention is to strengthen themselves, to enable themselves, to put themselves in a position to be able to do an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person sleeps in order to rest, in order to be healthy, to get up in the night and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to get up in the morning for Fajr, then if the intention of that sleeping is for the act of worship, to enable them to get up and do the act of worship, then they get rewarded for that as well. So this is a very important point, and the Shaykh, he passes over, he doesn't go into detail about it, but what he intended here, remember he said his shahr is intended to be mutawassit, yani moderate, not really lengthy or closer to that which is brief. But this is a very important point, that a person should be thinking when they're doing any permissible deed that's not an act of worship, can I make an intent to do this as a means to enable me to worship Allah better? Then that means the person will be rewarded for that thing which is just an ordinary deed. Otherwise, without intention, there will be no reward for it. The Shaykh, he says, so those are the first two words, innama and al-amal. Then he says, wal-alif wal-lam بالنيات بدلا من الضمير ها. So the alif and the lam, the definite article in the word النيات. Al niyat, right? النيات. This alif lam, he said, it is in substitute in place of the pronoun ha, which would be referring back to al-amal. The pronoun ha, meaning al-amal بالنيات, he said, what is intended by it? Al-amal bi niyatiha. Yani bi niyatiha. The ha meaning that actions will be judged or considered based upon their intentions. The pronoun referring back to al-amal, based upon their intentions. ومتعلق الجاء والمجرور محذوف تقديره معتبرة أي أن الأعمال معتبرة بنياتها. Again, this is a linguistic technical point, but and there's a word here that's understood in this sentence that's connected to the preposition and the object of the preposition. The preposition and object of the preposition is bi and niyat. That, ja'a wal majrur, it has a word that's connected to it, completing its meaning, that is mahzuf. It has been omitted, but it's understood to be mu'tabira. That, yani, the actions will be considered, they will be weighed, they will be taken into account based upon the intentions. Then he says, وَالنِّيَّةُ فِي اللُّغَةِ الْقَصْدِ. So the word النِّيَّة, linguistically it means al-qasd. Yani it means the aim, or the goal, or the objective. What is the end that a person is seeking? النِّيَّة, linguistically it means al-qasd. And it comes, in one case, to distinguish between al-ibadat. Yani meaning, the niyyah distinguishes between different types of worship, like distinguishing between one obligatory duty and another obligatory duty. Yani distinguishing between the salat that's obligatory and the siyam that's obligatory. Yani a person makes a niyyah. They are both obligatory acts of worship, but one of them is salat and one is zakat or siyam. So niyyah distinguishes between acts of worship, like between one obligatory duty and another, or between an obligatory duty and a voluntary act. Yani the intention distinguishes when a person is praying, for example, that I intend in my heart that this is an obligatory prayer, or I intend that this is a voluntary prayer. So niyyah distinguishes also between the obligatory act and the voluntary act. And secondly, he said, وَتَمْيِيزْ الْإِبَادَاتْ عَنَ الْعَادَاتْ. And it also distinguishes between acts of worship and ordinary actions that are not intended to be acts of worship. The niyya also distinguishes between an action that could be an act of worship or an action that sometimes is not an act of worship. Like the ghusl that a person performs min al-janaba. Person is in a state of janaba, when they perform a ghusl, they intend by it to purify themselves so that they can perform those acts of worship that require yani state of tahara, state of purity. So that yani ghusl, same ghusl that that person performs from janaba, should be distinguished from the ghusl that a person performs just because it's a hot day and they want to cool down. Or because yani they didn't have a shower in a couple of days, so they want to clean up. Yani that, so the niyya distinguishes between the ibadat, the ghusl from janaba, and the adat, the ghusl that's just for some other reason that has nothing to do with worship. So that's what he says concerning the first part of this hadith. And the first wording of this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. And then he explains the second part of this hadith. And maybe we'll take that and then we'll stop, inshallah. The second part of this hadith is point number 5. The saying... How much time before the Iqamah? Okay, so I'll just mention... I'm not going to read the explanation here. I don't want to rush through it because it's too important. But the second point, second sentence of this hadith, after إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ إِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And indeed, verily, certainly, surely, for every person is what he has intended. Meaning the reward that a person will get is based upon what he intended or what she intended. So the first part of the hadith is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that actions, the judgment concerning an action, being valid or invalid or whatever, is based upon the intention. And likewise, the reward that a person will receive for doing an action is also based upon the intention. And the Shaykh discusses this, yani, in the explanation of this particular part of the hadith, but so as not to rush through it because it's a little bit involved. And we can stop here. And I'll just say that next week, بإذن الله تعالى, we did good. Now next week, inshallah, we'll complete this hadith. And this gives us yani, one more week to memorize the entire hadith. If anybody would like to receive the recording, please send me a request. That was any recordings that were provided for us. Mashallah, very, very, very beneficial recordings. Every part of this hadith is separated in an individual recording. So that if a person wants to learn the first line, three words, innamal a'malu binniyat, they can just listen to the recording, the first recording. And it will repeat and repeat. If it's on a computer, it will repeat by itself. That recording is only 3 seconds. So that means in 1 minute you can listen to it how many times? 20 times. Just 1 minute. 1 minute a day, listen to it 20 times and memorize it. The next day, take the next 3 second recording, 1 minute a day, and memorize it. Alright, so there are 7 recordings. 6 of them are the pieces of the hadith in like 3 second recordings. And then the 00 first recording, number 00, is the entire hadith, which is less than a half a minute. Less than a half a minute. So you can listen to that, yani, in 1 minute twice, in 10 minutes 20 times again, and yani, finish the hadith. So I just want to say that because I want to encourage each of us to try to memorize these hadith. And the scholars have shown us the importance of this hadith, as we have seen in our discussion. I hope that we will try to memorize it, or at least yani, the first 2 lines of it, as much as you can, everybody according to their ability. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Memorize this hadith so it will be a constant reminder to us of the importance of righteous intentions, of having a good intention. May Allah grant success to each of us in doing those things that are pleasing to Him, doing them in accordance with the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He multiply our good deeds, and that He elevate our station in this world and in the next life, and that He keep us firm upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition that's pleasing to Him, and that we be pleased with Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So inshallah, I'll send out a modified study guide that contains only the questions that we covered today, and next week inshallah we'll cover the rest of them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah grant us success in that.